السلام عليك يا معز المؤمنين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطاهرين. I begin in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. And I praise, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the universe. And I send my wishes for salutations and blessings upon Muhammad and his holy family. And I send my greetings to all of the viewers of this program. The topic that I'd like to speak about today, inshallah, is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world around us. And in order to discuss this important topic, I just want to mention the sources I've been using and the sources I've used in order to come up with the presentation that I'm going to be showing you, inshallah. Mostly, we are going to be relying on the Qur'an and the ayat and riwayat, the ayat of the Qur'an and the riwayat, the narrations from the Prophet and his holy family to explain this topic. Now, as for the topic itself, which is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world around us, I think anyone who looks at the topic will agree that this is a very important thing for us to explore. Because often the question comes up that, you know, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, I want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to feel His presence more in my life. And I want to see Him in everything that I do, in every aspect of my life. But where can I see Him? How can I see Him? What can I do in order to see Him? And that is the general topic that we'd like to explore, inshallah. So let's go ahead and begin the presentation. The first slide that we have here shows that the Qur'an, the holy book of Allah, the message of Allah to humankind, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humankind delivered to us from the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him and his family. This Qur'an, this book of Allah, invites us time and time again to ponder upon the world around us. It's an invitation from the Qur'an that indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for those who possess intellects. Now, somebody who stumbles upon this verse and reads it and examines it and thinks about it, they will quickly come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them to look around them, to look at the creation of the heavens and the earth. Because what is it that in the world around us that is not contained in the heavens and the earth? The word heavens and the earth pretty much contains all the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we're asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at these creations, and that if we do so, we are told that there are signs for those who possess intellects. Now that is an open invitation for us to look and ponder upon the world around us. Now there's a general sort of world we're supposed to ponder, which is, you know, the skies and the heavens and the earth. And in particular, we're asked to look at the alternation of the night and the day. That's one of the specific signs in this verse that we're asked to look at. Now the Quran talks about many different aspects of the world around us that we ought to look at. For example, in another verse, in Surah number 16, verse number 79, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to look at the birds.
أَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ فِي جَوِّ السَّمَاءِ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يؤمنون.
Have they not regarded the birds disposed in the air of the sky? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to look at the birds disposed in the air of the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to look at the birds. Don't just look at them, but when you look at them, think about them and ponder upon them. Just open up your heart for a moment. Go outside and look at them and regard them and see how they are disposed in the air of the sky. Meaning, how it is that they're suspended and gliding in the sky. Is that something that we can do as human beings? Is it something that we do in order to make those birds be suspended in the sky like that? Or is there a power beyond us that is doing that for them? Is it the bird's own design? Of course not. The birds themselves, are they intelligent enough to come up with their own design to be able to suspend themselves in the sky? No. And so we are asked to look at the birds and then draw a conclusion from that, which is مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that the only one who sustains them is Allah. So, as you've seen, we're asked to look at the heavens and the earth. We're asked to look at the night and the day. We're asked to look at the birds. In another verse, in Surah number 24, verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to look at a common natural phenomenon, which is that of clouds and rain.
أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُزْجِي سَحَابًا ثُمَّ يُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ رُكَامًا فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ جِبَالٍ فِيهَا مِنْ بَرَدٍ فَيُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَصْرِفُهُ عَنْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ يَكَادُ سَنَا بَرْقِهِ يَذْهَبُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ.
Have you not regarded that God drives the clouds? So go and look at the way that the clouds are driven, and Allah is taking credit for driving the clouds. So when you see this common phenomenon of clouds gathering together in a sky which was previously blue and clear, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is behind that. And don't just look at it, but regard it, ponder upon it, reflect upon it. Then He composes them. He brings them together. Then He piles them up. Whereat you see the rain issuing from its midst. You see that from these clouds that have gathered, there's a process that is going on to cause rain to fall down. And that should be a sign for you as well. Now, we've seen in these three verses that we are invited to look upon the world, look at the world around us, to ponder upon it, and to draw some conclusions from that pondering, from that reflection. And there are many verses in the Quran, in many chapters of the Quran, beyond the three examples that we cited here, that asks us to do the same thing with these signs, with these natural phenomena, with these type of creations of Allah, and many others as well too. Now moving on to the next point here, not only are we asked to look upon the universe around us from the Quran, but also from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam as well too. They who are the explainers of the Quran, the interpreters of the Quran, and what they say of course goes hand in hand with the Quranic message, they also tell us in many places that we should look upon the world around us and see if we can draw some conclusions from it. For example, we have a tradition narrated to us from the 8th Imam, Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, Imam Ali Ar-Ridha, where he tells us that three things make the soul happy. Number one is looking at water which is flowing, looking at flowing water. If you look at flowing water, that's a good thing for you. It makes your soul happy. It makes your eyes shine with light. Looking at greenery is the second thing, and looking at a beautiful face. Of course, what's meant by a beautiful face here is a face which reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is filled with spirituality. Now, the first two things that we mention here in this narration from the Imam have to do with natural phenomena. We are invited by the Imam and we're asked to go outside and look upon natural phenomena, the signs of Allah. In other traditions from the Ahlul Bayt, we are told that the best form of exercise is swimming. Now, swimming is, of course, an action which involves going out in the world around us, and in particular, into one of the natural phenomena that we consider as one of the great natural phenomena, which is, like, for example, the ocean or the lake, and go there and do exercise. Now, we are told and encouraged to do so. Of course, we shouldn't just limit the activity to just the physical part of it, which is exercise, but also we can look at the other benefits that can be gotten by going and swimming outside in the open in nature. Of course, this would apply in places where the hijab would be, and the Islamic modest dress would be observed. If it's men, then and women, of course, those types of boundaries and guidelines would have to be observed as well too. Now, the point that we're trying to make is that both from the Quran and from the Ahlul Bayt, we are told to look at the world around us and ponder upon it. So suppose somebody takes this advice. They read the Quran, they look at the message of the Ahlul Bayt, and they say that, okay, I'm asked to go out into nature. So let me have an outing into the nature. Either I'm going to take a walk in the park, or when I go outside and I'm going to work, for example, I'm going to stop and not just walk to the bus stop, but I'm going to spend some time and actually reflect upon those things which I see, those things which occur to me as I go from home to the bus stop. Or when I'm driving on the freeway and I see a particularly beautiful spot of scenery, I'm going to pause and reflect upon what I saw. Well, not pause, but at least I'm going to think about what it is that's happening as I drive along. Or, for example, I want to take a vacation. I decide to take a vacation with the family, and let me go to some beautiful place this time, because it's something that the Quran asks me to do. And so, for example, I'll go to a national park, or I'll go to some particularly beautiful place known for its natural beauty, and there I can follow this and respond to the invitation of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. Now, let's look at some of the typical answers that somebody would give if they were asked, why is it that you came on this vacation? Why did you go for a walk in the park? Now, this is someone who is not necessarily like thinking about things from a godly perspective. Just say a normal Joe, a normal person in the street. What is it that they would say if they're going for a walk in the park? And some typical answers that they might give. Number one is, for example, they might say that I went to the park, or I went to this particular natural place of natural beauty, this national park, for example, to hear the birds chirp, because hearing the birds chirp is something that makes me feel good. Or, for example, somebody might go on an outing because they want to see the beautiful colors that are present. In the fall time, they want to go see the beautiful fall colors. They might go for an outing in the nature just to relax, because they know that when they go out into the open, there's a good feeling that they have, a good feeling of relaxation. It's a way of escaping, the next point. It's a way of escaping from their daily routine, when they're not in front of their computer, when they're not presented with all the challenges of their workplace, when they're not in the presence of the stress of their daily life. When they escape from that daily routine, then that's an opportunity for them to feel relaxed, for them to escape. They find inner peace when they go on such a natural outing. So these are some of the typical answers that somebody might give. If you ask them, why is it that you went out into nature? Why is it that you went out for this walk into the park? Why is it that you took a vacation with your family to go into nature? Now, I don't mean to say, when giving these answers, that these are wrong answers to give. But what I'd like to say is that if it just ends at this as the answer, then the people have not fully responded to the invitation of the Quran, the invitation of the Ahlul Bayt. Rather, the answers should be this and more. Let me explore that further in the next slide, inshallah. Now, before I get to that point, just some typical comments that people will make. So the slide before, as we talked about some of the reasons why somebody might go into an outing. Now, when they're actually out there, what is the type of things that you'll hear them say? For example, they say, what a beautiful bird. I just passed this beautiful blue and white feathered bird. What a beautiful bird. What a beautiful tree. It's so, the leaves, the way they fall down upon the ground. It's such an ancient tree. What a beautiful river. Look at the sparkling water and the way the sun, sets on the river. This rain, maybe they, as they're walking along, there's a rainfall. What enchanting rain. What an amazing thing. What a cool mist that was emitted by this rain. The sun makes me feel so happy. Now, these are comments, hopefully, that you might have said yourself or you've heard. They're not something strange. Anybody who goes into a beautiful place, their nature will make them respond and say these type of things. as a sign of amazement and awe at what they see. Look at all these different types of flowers that are in this garden here, in this particular patch of very beautiful natural beauty. That was a gorgeous sunset. They were out and they saw the sun set, for example, on the beach, and they could see it as it hit the horizon, and there was a red flame that emitted in the sky, and the sky was lighted up with beautiful hues of red and yellow. What a gorgeous sunset. Now, these comments, again, these are not bad comments to say. But again, I'd like to say that if somebody just says this, they don't take it to the next step, then they haven't fully responded to the invitation. They might say these type of things and then add, you know, a mashallah or alhamdulillah or all praise due to Allah, which is good. Now they're moving towards the right direction. But if they just say mashallah and they don't mean anything behind that, or there wasn't any reflection that went behind that saying, then again, they've fallen short of that invitation. So, let's ask this person who has gone on this outing in nature, what is it that you got out of the experience? What is it that you took away? One answer they might give is that they got some temporary physical and psychological pleasure. Physical pleasure because when you go out, you feel good. So it's physical pleasure. You know, you feel happy. You have a walk and you feel good because of the way the juices flow in your body after taking that walk. There was psychological pleasure. You know, when you see nice colors, when you hear beautiful sounds of nature, you hear the birds chirping in the air, and again, you leave your daily routine, that can lead to a good feeling inside of you. Your mind is at peace. And it can go further as well, too. That same awe that somebody has, for example, if you take a kid out into nature and they see these beautiful things, they might be inspired to go and research further. They might feel that spirit of inquisitiveness, that now they want to act upon what they saw and actually learn more about it. For example, it might fuel the spirit of inquiry that leads to sciences and leads to exploration of sciences such as botany. They see these beautiful plants, now they want to go become botanists. The science of forestry, they see the way the plants are growing, now they want to learn more about it. They want to further the knowledge that humankind has about forestry. Natural history is the same way. Oceanology, they go to the ocean and they see beautiful things there. They see the way the pebbles acquire on the beach. They see the way the tortoises come and lay their eggs on the beach. They see the way the oceans, the waves of the ocean crash against the barrier, and they're inspired to go and learn more about it. And so they develop the science of oceanology. They go and become oceanologists themselves. Or they just learn about it and they become an amateur sort of oceanologist. Or the science of ornithology. What is ornithology? It's the science of birds. They see beautiful birds and they want to learn more about it. They buy a book about birds, for example. Now, is there something wrong with it? Not at all. These are very good things. Learning about the creation, learning about the universe, developing these types of sciences are very good and honorable things. In fact, somebody, for example, who learns about ornithology, learns about the sciences of birds, they can then go, for example, and maybe examine the types of endangered species that are out there and do something to save this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then maybe parts of it are being destroyed by the acts of humankind and, you know, sort of the natural disaster, the disasters that are caused by human beings who are careless with the natural resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. But is that it? That's my question. Is that all that we are asked to do? Are we supposed to just go on a vacation and see these beautiful things and say, okay, you know, I had a good time, that was good, now I'm back to work again. And you know, it was a temporary sort of pleasure. Is that all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do? Or is there something else that I can take from the experience that will truly benefit me? What is the type of thing that will truly benefit me? It's that thing which is lasting. If something is temporary, then it doesn't really benefit you. It's good, but really we're looking for things which are permanent, things that build us as who we are, that add to our perfection, that add to the purpose for why which we have been created. That's something that's truly beneficial. And that's what the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt invite us to do. A walk in the park is supposed to be a spiritual experience, not just a matter of looking for pleasure and physical pleasure. Not just looking for physical pleasure and psychological pleasure. It's supposed to be a spiritual experience as well too. Now there's some people who go on vacation and what they do, particularly people who don't have faith, what they'll do is, as part of their vacation, they'll go into some setting of natural beauty. For example, they'll go skiing. And not only do they not take advantage of the natural beauty And they don't even get to the point where they're saying things like, oh, what a beautiful tree, what beautiful snow. But furthermore, they will spend their time doing things like drinking alcohol, and that's having time, a good time in the casino. Now that's even taking it further. That's just saying that, you know, not only I'm going to go out there, but I'm not going to do anything to take advantage of that natural beauty. So this is not enough. We need to look for something else, inshallah. And in the future, in the next session, inshallah, we'll explore what is it that we can do to take more advantage of and fully respond to that invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we go out and look at the world around us in order to understand, in order to gain knowledge, in order to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.